football on off the ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
By the former Republic of Ireland manager herself, Sue Ronan. Sue, good morning.
Morning, Colin. How are we?
Are you happy for Caoimhín Kelleher? Right move to go to Brentford?
Interesting one. Yeah, I just listened to the discussion there. No. I agree. Yeah, he's going to have a lot more to do probably with Brentford than he would with Liverpool. So let's see how that pans out. But yeah, I'm delighted he's going to be first choice because I think he deserves that at this stage of his career.
Well, Courtney Prasden only had probably two pieces of business last night to attend to, which was the Lara Prasnaker shot, the 1-on-1, Sue, just before half time. And then there was a pot shot from distance. But other than that, she was largely a spectator to a pretty decent performance for Carlo Wardside.
Yeah, we finished the campaign on a positive with a win, which was great. At last, we got a better performance from the girls in green. I guess it wasn't the 90-minute one that we all hoped for, but was much better than the previous games in this campaign. You know, you could see from the word go, they were on the front foot. They were very direct, played with that intensity and that desire that, you know, is part of our DNA, and it served as well. Forever, all our teams. We created lots of chances early on, got lots of crosses in into the box, scored a lovely goal from one. Unfortunately, we only got the one goal, but yeah, it was a much better performance than the previous games. And you look back now and wonder, you know, why we couldn't have done that from the beginning. But look, there's lots of reasons, I'm sure, why. Change of management, change of players, all that type of thing. But yeah, it was good to finish on a high.
What did you put the improvement last night down to, Sue? Was it the formation or was it personnel?
I think Carla's nearly stumbling on her best 11, you know, accidentally. She's still learning, I think, about her players, maybe who suits her system, who suits what position, because there's been lots of changes in every game, as you can see. Like Emily Murphy came on Friday, and she did really, really well against Turkey. You know, I think she really improved the team. And she started last night, and she was magnificent, I thought, from start to go. I think she got player of the game. So yeah, I think change of personnel. Maybe, you know, Carla listened to her interview afterwards. She was saying she still, you know, her team, she still wants to play football, but, you know, she could see that out of possession now, there was more of the Irish heart there than there was previously. So, yeah, I don't know. It was just an all-around better performance. Maybe we realised also it was sort of, you know, last chance saloon. You want to try and win the game to get automatic promotion, which unfortunately we didn't do in the end, but it was much better. And look, players are probably getting used to her system, used to her messaging. And we always seem to put in a good performance in Cork as well, you know. So, it was a much better performance all around. And hopefully that's the start of things to come.
Yeah, the new home of Irish football there, you're saying, Sue. That's a very good shout there in Cork. It was promising from the start, because I think after only about 2 minutes, Katie McCabe swings in a corner. Saoirse Noonan gets on the end of it and it's cleared away. And the omens were good, and then Noonan took her goal really well. But beyond that, Sue, there was a couple of opportunities. Emily Murphy, who was outstanding, had that 1-on-1 from a tight angle in the second half. Caitlin Hayes had a glancing header. But there wasn't a huge amount created. And again, it just goes back to the worry. And we talked about this with yourself last Friday before the Turkey game, is that, like, where are we getting our goals from? We needed four last night and it never really felt like we were going to get those.
No, we didn't. I mean, we had two corners, I think, probably in the first couple of minutes, and lots of crosses in. And we had some good chances where we should have scored. We had opportunities to shoot and we didn't take it at times. We did have shots that either the goalkeeper or straight at the goalkeeper went over the bar. And it is a problem for this Irish team. It's a problem for most Irish teams, I think, certainly the men's senior team also. The underage teams maybe are a little bit more... it's easier maybe to create those levels. But it is a problem, that creativity in the final third. And I suppose finding the right personnel then, you know, you look at Denise Osova can certainly create, Katie McCabe can certainly create, Marissa Shiva can create, but then she plays well one game and doesn't another game. So it's finding the right balance in the team. It's finding that clinical scorer. it is a problem for us, and it is a worry. And you look at the way we've maybe played in other eras, I guess, where we sort of are compact, we're hard to beat, and we're looking to counter attack. Does that serve us better maybe than trying to be on the front foot all the time and trying to be creative? Especially now when we're playing teams that are tougher and that are not going to give the spaces and, you know, that the likes of Slovenia have given us. So it's something that really needs to be worked on. All right.
It quickly became apparent that Slovenia weren't overly fussed about scoring a goal last night. So it was kind of attack versus defence, Sue. And when Louise Quinn came on with about, 10 minutes to go, there was obviously sentiment in abundance from people there and people watching at home that it was the end of an era. But then the practicalities of it was that Quinn has scored 17 goals for Ireland, 16 from her head, put her up front, but it wasn't the case.
Yeah, I actually had said that earlier in the commentary. I thought when she, if she was going to come on, that that's where she'd be put if we were looking for goals. And certainly at that point, was it 15 minutes to go or something when she came on? And we obviously needed the goals, and we were throwing loads of the long throws into the box. So that was a surprise, I guess. But I mean, that's not your long term solution either. You know, long throws from the touchline, trying to get touches in the box, trying to get knock-ons, trying to get goals. You know, we have to try to be more creative. We have to try and develop creative players really from a younger age, you know, and we've definitely had them over the years. And unfortunately, I suppose, I've said it before on this show, I don't think we've probably introduced over the last maybe 5, 6, 7 years, enough of our younger players haven't really been given the experience they need or haven't been introduced to the senior team, or maybe they haven't been quite ready and we haven't provided another environment for them like an under-23 team or like an under-21 team, so they can get those experiences that they're ready to step up. Because there's definitely creativity in this country, and it is in the younger players, you know, because they're playing more now, they're playing with boys, they're playing at higher levels, so we definitely have creativity, but it's now trying to give them those opportunities where they're able to do it at a higher level.
Is it 6 games into the Carla Ward era, Sue? I think you mentioned at the start that she stumbled, was your word, into the sort of right position last night. What is your sense of, I felt sort of leaving the game yesterday like there's a great sense of positivity about the waves of attack that we had, like the chances that we created, and obviously weren't able to convert most of them, but like a lot of, we were very dominant. So I was sort of trying to balance that with the dynamic of the match where, you know, Cullen makes the point about Slovenia being set up very defensively. Where's your sense of, like, you know, we needed a lot of goals, we were clearly chasing the goals, we couldn't really get the goals. Where's your sense at this juncture, 6 games in, of where the Carla Ward era is at?
Well, she has sort of said she wanted an evolution rather than a revolution at the beginning. Has there been enough evolution during the 6 games? I mean, that's a question, I guess, for everybody. She wants us to play possession football. She's been clear on that. And that's not going to happen overnight. You know, you can see in patches it is happening a bit, but, you know, it isn't going to happen overnight because we don't have those natural players to do that, especially in the higher end of the pitch and the top third of the pitch. I think our out of possession work still our out of possession play rather still needs a lot of work. Was probably a little bit better last night, but we still got caught a couple of times on the break, and we're playing a team that's ranked like, 10, 11 places below us. And let's be honest, they're teams we should be beating, and we should be beating them well. We're going to step up now in a playoff against Austria, Iceland, Denmark, I think, or Belgium. They're top teams, but it's not so long ago since we were also around their levels, you know. So, to answer your question, I can see what she wants to play a certain style of football. For me, you know, as an international manager, you have to play the style of football that suits your players, number one, and that suits the opponent that you're playing. You just have to, you know, you might just have to bite back on your principles and be realistic and play with what you have. And if that means, you know, playing a different style to get a result, you have to do that, because at the end of the day, it is a results-based business. And when I mentioned she stumbled across her better team, I guess, and I mean that was from chopping and change and from trial and error, and you know, maybe she didn't know all the players as well as she thought when she came in, and I'm sure she didn't, and she's been finding that, she's going along, she's been moving players around a bit like a chess game, you know. So Let's see. I mean, you know, we have to give her another chance. I'm not sure when her contract was given to. I think, was it for World Cup qualification? So she should have another campaign. You would hope to see her embedding her philosophy a bit more, or her, you know, being more realistic, I guess, at what she has and trying to get results. Because at the end of the day, we want to qualify for tournaments. It's not about playing a particular style of play. It's about winning games and getting to World Cups and European Championships.
We've a bit of time to reflect now on where this Ireland team is at, Sue. What level suits this team? Is it Group B, or is it League B or League A? Feels like if there was a hybrid, it would be perfect.
Yeah, I'm almost sure Scotland and Wales have come back down now. They went up the last time and they were sort of like, Wales obviously beat us to promotion. I think they've come straight back down. And we were the same the last time. You know, we got promoted, won all the games under Eileen, was it? And went up to, or under Vera maybe, I can't remember which. Anyway, went up and then came back down, so we lost all the games bar one. Like there are some teams in Europe. I mean, the top 12 teams, top 8, 12 teams in Europe, I think are at a different level. I think we're sort of in the next level. Mm. So we could certainly hold our own, maybe, you know, look at finishing a third and to avoid those automatic relegation places if you got a good draw of Europe in Group A. That's something I probably would have said a while ago. Right now, I need to see a bit more of an improvement to say that again, because, you know, I think we do need to start improving, getting better results and wiping the floor, I guess, and that's a strong word, but you know what I mean, with these teams. I mean, the teams that we've played in this group, we should be beating them really well. Turkey, Greece, Slovenia. And that's just no disrespect to them. We should be beating those teams home and away, and we should be beating them well. Then getting up and seeing how we can do against the other teams, you know. So, yeah, hybrid would be ideal. We're certainly not one of the top 12, 13, 14 teams in Europe. But, you know, I think maybe in the next tranche, we can certainly hold our own. But it's now, we've lost a lot of experienced players. It's now introducing new players. And as I mentioned, you know, there has been a lot of players that have come through the underage or have been on the underage teams in the last number of years. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, they haven't got that game time that they've needed. Mm-hmm. So now that we put structures in place to give them those opportunities to try and get them up to the levels, because, you know, they're still good players, but they definitely need experience, and they need to be blooded into these type of games.
You touched on a theme of ruthlessness there in terms of we should be beating inferior sides, but Fountainstown Foreland, Sue, has commented on YouTube, was at the game last night, and great to see the level of shithousery. Connolly's a great one for a sneaky dig. Murphy was great from the first minute. Shiva was a real dynamo when she came on. And there is certainly a fighting spirit with this Ireland side, which is something probably that the men's equivalent have lacked a bit in the last couple of years. But there's no hesitation for players to stand up for themselves. I don't know if that's because their captain leads by example and the rest follow, and Slovenia certainly gave it to them last night too, but Ireland responded in kind. And I wonder, from a former manager perspective yourself, is that something that you like to see in your team?
I didn't quite catch it first, but you said there, Colin, but I think you're talking about the players, standing up for themselves, yes, or whatever. And there was a bit of physicality in the game last night. And I think Slovenia were early on where they were trying to target Katie McCabe, because they probably know, you know, they could maybe get at her, you know, if things are not going well, she, you know, she can maybe lose the head a little bit. But she didn't, in fairness, last night. But I think, yeah, the players are well able to stand up for themselves. And yeah, potentially that Katie can do that also. And maybe the other players see that. But I think that's no harm. I think Irish teams have always been like that. You know, you want to see players for sure not being, not being overrun, I guess, physically by your opponent, or not being intimidated by your opponent. So I don't see anything wrong with that, I have to say. And it's good to see that bite in the team.
One of those players was Emily Murphy, that we kind of touched on a bit earlier. For people who aren't aware, she kind of did a reverse Jack Grealish, so I think it's fair enough to say. She played underage for England, obviously, and then her qualifies for Ireland. Her dad is from Rathfarnham in Dublin. She'd been in camp previously, possibly as far back as Vera Powell, 21, and then obviously comes into it under Eileen Gleeson last year. But a player has been through the Arsenal Academy, Chelsea Academy, loan spell at Birmingham, a bit of time in the US where she studied as well, and at Newcastle obviously now. Carla Ward on her afterwards, who said she was low on confidence, hadn't played many minutes. We had an honest conversation with her after the first camp that she might not be in the second camp, as we needed more from her. She's got better and better. Certainly looking at her last night, and obviously, as you mentioned earlier, player of the match. That sort of ball of energy. She epitomised everything that we would like to associate probably with an Irish player in many ways. And at 22, I think, could potentially have a long, basing this off one game, admittedly. So you can manage our expectations here if you want. But a player that looks like she might have a long career for Ireland.
Yeah, I hadn't known much about her when she came into the squad initially when she was called in, and we hadn't seen much of her really. We had little fits and starts, I guess, cameos, and it was difficult to judge in those cameos. But I have to say, I've been very, very impressed with her on Friday night and last night. I thought she was excellent. Excellent, her work rate, her desire, her heart. She wanted to get forward at every opportunity. She had one thing in mind when she got on that ball. She wanted to run at her player. She wanted to take her defender on, win her duel, get a cross in, have a shot if it was on. She was willing to do the dirty work, get back and defend. The second half, she was covering in the fullback position, where we were caught a couple of times in the first half, and she had the speed to nullify the attack. I also noticed they obviously trusted her when we had corners. They left her a couple of times in a 1v1 on the halfway line. She was marking the Slovenian defender, so they trusted her strength and her speed. But yeah, I thought she was excellent, and as you say, epitomizes everything that you would expect from Irish players in a green jersey, that willingness, that heart, that energy, that desire. And she has a lot of skill and ability as well. And for me right now, she'd be probably the fourth name maybe on the team sheet after the goalkeeper, Katie and Denise, because she was that good for me in the last two games.
Just before we leave you go, Sue, we want to play you this video. This is Louise Quinn speaking after her last game last night.
Yeah, this is the girls' messages and how the week has been. Yeah, it's just been it just shows they're just incredibly kind people, and you know, when you come into this year, just you know, come into this group, you're just so looked after. And yeah, I felt a lot of love this week, and I think a lot of reminiscing as well, which has just been just so funny. I've just laughed and smiled all week, and then just small moments of tears, and then as soon as I kind of feel the tears, someone just makes me laugh again. And I think that's obviously, of course, I'm going to miss the football, but it's the bus journeys, it's the lunch dinner tables where we sit around for an extra hour or two and just chat a load of crap, and they're the moments I'll remember more. There'll be obviously a lot of moments on the pitch, but I think off the pitch has been amazing.
How do you sum up the career of Louise Quinn for the Republic of Ireland, Sue?
Outstanding, in one word. Outstanding. What a player she's been for Ireland. I think she was capped first by Noel King in 07 or 08, and she's played all the way through my managerial career and with, three or four managers since. But she's given everything she had, and I heard her afterwards on RTE. She literally gave every single thing she had for that green jersey, and she did. She never left anything on the pitch. She came off, drenched in sweat, blood, tears, whatever it might have been, whether it was tears of joy or tears of sadness after matches, and always made herself available. She went, as a young player, she was playing with Piemont here and realised to play at the higher levels or to play better at the higher level, she needed to go abroad. So she's one of our first players that would have gone abroad in my era. Went to Sweden, I think it was, Estelkuna in Sweden. And, it would have been lonely at the time for her, an Irish girl going to a non-English speaking country. So she's been to a number of countries, playing in England obviously as well. And just what a career she's had, and from underage as well. And also what a person, she's a brilliant girl, brilliant leader to have around the group. As she mentioned, sitting, having her cups of tea, chatting to afterwards at the dinner table. And yeah, she would be one of the last to leave the restaurant afterwards, just chatting away and chatting to younger players and probably inspiring them and giving them, little bits of insights or whatever, encouragement. But yeah, a great career, I have to say, and congratulate her on it.
Very fitting words for an outstanding career. Sue Ronan, thanks a million for today.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Just a reminder, this Friday afternoon, Ireland will find out their playoff opponents. It'll be either Belgium, Iceland, Denmark or Austria. And then later this month, the 26th and 29th of June, Ireland play USA in America. Emma Hayes aside, of course, world number ones. A reunion there, actually, of Carla Ward and Emma Hayes. But
football on off the ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.